Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to Saving Lives in Slow Motion. Today, I'd like to talk about neurodiversity. Now, it's a term that's come into common parlance these days, but do you know who first coined it? Well, it was a lady called Judy Singer, an Australian lady who describes herself as being somewhere on the spectrum and was bringing up her daughter as a single parent who was eventually diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome. Now, as a sociologist, she had more than a good understanding of social constructs, and also she experienced a lot of barriers when it came to bringing up her daughter, because back then, and we're talking about the 1990s, there was little awareness and little support for neurodivergent people, or in other words, people who were not seen as neurotypical. And what those words mean, and what I understand them to mean, is that neurotypical is what society deems someone to have normal, in inverted commas, brain function. And neurodiversity is a word that describes really the fact that all of us are different and have different types of brains, but a particular person can't be neurodiverse. You might be neurodivergent. And that covers, certainly the way that Judy Singer meant it, covers all of those diagnoses that we see, like ADHD, autism, dyscalculia, dyspraxia, dyslexia, and other developmental disorders. Now, I wanted to talk about this because I think it's so important. And one of the reasons is that if you look at the numbers of people with diagnoses of the conditions I just mentioned, they are on the rise. And actually, in the 20 years between the end of the 90s and the 2020s, there are some statistical analyses that show that there has been a 100% rise, or a doubling, in the diagnosis of some of these conditions, ADHD being one of them. So what's it all about? What is neurodiversity? Why is it important these days? And why does it seem to be something that wasn't around, or maybe it was around and we weren't aware of it, but didn't seem to be as prevalent in, say, the 70s and 80s, and now appears to be something that all of us really need to know about. So I'm going to start backwards, because I think a lot of people think I'm going to talk about children. I'll come on to children later. But as adults with these conditions, if you fit into one of those categories, or you have a diagnosis of one of those conditions I mentioned earlier, you could call yourself part of the neurominority. So again, that's saying that you're probably not neurotypical in the way that society sees you, but you're in a neurominority. I think the terminology around this is important. But if we start with that sort of adult world, and you think about your own workplace, for example, or people that you know in your community, all of us are different. And I'm sure that either yourself or someone you know is neurodivergent. Now, when you think about, say, colleagues at work, or all these people that you know locally, if you're not at work, The thing I always think is that some people have great strengths because they are neurodivergent. So, for example, someone who has ADHD is likely to be a good creative thinker, can get hyper-focused, can be very passionate, and has amazing skill in terms of rapid reasoning ability, where they can see through problems that others may not. But on the flip side, they may have difficulty with concentration or time management or getting themselves organized. Same goes with dyslexia, for example. Very good at visual reasoning, often have great practical skills, excellent at telling stories, but when it comes to memory or organization or writing skills, not always that strong. And I personally think, actually, if you spot the talent that comes with this group of conditions, disorders, whatever you want to call them, you know, we're all different, then that can only be a good thing for the person and the organization that they work in. But it's interesting. I've been looking for a way of trying to get my head around the difference, I guess, not in a good or bad way, but the difference between neurotypical and neurodivergent. And the thing that I found, which really makes sense to me, and I'll post a link to this, is what's called a spiky profile. So in some ways, you could argue that, I've got to be careful what I say here, that neurotypical people, in terms of their IQ, when you look at verbal skills, working memory, visual skills, and processing speed, are boring, because it's like a flat line. They kind of do okay on all of those areas. But someone who's neurodivergent has what's known as a spiky profile. So they might be very high on one or two of them, but actually quite low on the others. And the more I think about it, the more that rings true in terms of people I know and talents, abilities, strengths, weaknesses. I also want to mention Dr. Hans Asperger. Actually, I mispronounce it as Asperger, but it's actually Asperger, I think. An Austrian doctor. Asperger's syndrome is named after eponymously. And he actually described autistic children early on and ran a sort of residential school, if you like, with physical activity and a lot of nurturing. And sadly, Asperger's work has been marred by significant controversy that you can see in the show notes. But from what I'd read previously in terms of his approach, generally, he was inclusive in that he saw these children as having quite individual disabilities, but also individual talents, and recognizing that someone who had autism needed nurturing and support in order to thrive. But have a read of the link in the show notes. Now, I'm all for that. I really am. And what I see, just in terms of graphs, if you look at the graphs of just one of these conditions, autism, let's take autism, the rise in diagnosis is exponential. How do we make sure that neurodivergent people are given equal opportunity in the workplace and in life in general? Now, of course, I don't have the answers, but one of the things I was bouncing around in my head was around the concept of psychometric testing. So in the United States and other countries, actually, human resources, often one big part of an HR role is psychometric testing. And they do this really to see if you're suitable for a particular job. So I know there are lots of jobs that I would not be able to do because I don't have the right psychological makeup. For instance, I couldn't be a crane operator. I'm not actually scared of heights, but I just don't like being completely on my own. And it's the kind of task that I think I'd find very difficult. Now, you've got to think ethically here. Is it ethical to psychometrically test people for employment? Well, lots of companies do it, so yes, I think it probably is. And the other thing, I don't know enough about psychometric tests, but if you're able to pick up on someone's talent as well as the things that they're not so good at in those tests, surely that's a good thing. I remember years ago I did something called a Morrisby test at school, and it kind of lays out areas like verbal reasoning, numerical reasoning, abstract reasoning, just, you know, how your brain works and what your strengths and weaknesses are. It didn't really mean much to me at the time, but I found my report recently, and it probably wouldn't have changed my career choice. It may have changed subjects I took at A-level. But in the same way, what you don't want one of these tests to do is write someone off and say, well, you can't be or do this, because I think that's very limiting. Rather, it will just show you what you're likely to be good at. And I think that's something that all of us ought to have access to so that you can get the best out of yourself. Beyond that, I think awareness of neurodiversity is important. I don't think we're there yet. I talk to a lot of people who nod to it, but frankly haven't got a clue. And that includes a lot of healthcare professionals as well. So going in the other direction in terms of root causes, you know, I love that kind of thing. I'm that kind of doctor. I always want to get to the why of the why of the why. I don't have the answers here, but there are a lot of amazing books out there that give you some insight. One that I particularly love, and I read many years ago and I've just reread it, is called Scattered Minds by Gabor Mate. And that one is really about the origins of ADHD, and he makes the case that although we're very quick to say that it's mainly genetic, there are other factors that are very important in early life. Then many of you may have heard of the GAPS diet by Dr. Natasha Campbell-McBride, who is a parent of a child with learning disabilities. And actually, I read that book in my first 2 years of becoming a GP. It must have been 2004 or 2005. But again, really interesting. So all of these conditions are multimodal. It's never one thing that gives rise to any particular state of being. I think my final thoughts are that if you think about the world today, more and more, everything is about personalization, the individual, and customization. And that goes for what you see on your social feeds. You tend to curate that yourself. What you watch, when you watch it, and what device you watch it on. What you eat, your food preferences, allergies, you name it. We have choice. And in the same vein, I don't see why the individuality of neurodiversity can't be celebrated. And I think it's very easy for society to just plod on for, you know, neurotypical people. It's the same. It's exactly the same principle as people with physical disability, but a lot more prevalent. And, you know, I still think the world is not thought through from the point of view of someone with a physical disability. And we're having to evolve now because of the way that we're evolving and that our brains are changing. And I wouldn't call neurodiversity a disability. It definitely can be for some people, and it is. But the principle is making sure that the world is as friendly as it can be, in inverted commas, for people who are different. And that begs the question, different to whom or to what? Okay, I'm going to stop rambling there. Listen, I hope that was useful in terms of just laying out what neurodiversity is. And, you know, it's going to become more and more part of the norm. And I'm waiting for the day where neurotypical actually isn't neurotypical. We're just all neurodiverse, because we are. We're all different. Do let me know your thoughts. Let me know if you have experienced any difficulties at work or at school because of a diagnosis. And also keep the episode suggestions coming in. I really appreciate them. They really help. And finally, I'm going to leave you with a quote. You know, I like a quote, and occasionally they're appropriate. I was trying to think of one that sums up neurodiversity. And for me, it's by Chris Bonello from Underdogs. And it's this one. It's really simple. The problems are not the person. I really love that. And I think if we all thought like that, the world would be a much, much better place. Anyway, until next time, thank you for listening. Do stay well, look after yourself. Take care. Bye for now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.